Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda in Maui, Hawaii, and I have Carrie Waller, my October co-host, on the line. Carrie, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you. I always have a surreal moment when I hear you say that. Like, am I actually doing this or am I listening to this? When I hear you enter.
No, you are on the show, just so you know. You are on it.
Got it.
But thank you so much. And I'm so excited about today's topic because it's all about how art contests can dramatically change your art career. And I think we have a person on the line, my co-host, who's had some amazing success with art contests and shows. So I can't wait to get into that, too. But first thing, oh, darn, the 30 and 30 challenges. I when I decided to do it in September, I didn't quite know I'd be doing a remodel at the same time. So it was a labor of love. And there were many mornings where I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning painting for that day that I had to post by 9 o'clock. So it was tough, but boy, I'm sure glad it's over and it went so well. What was it like for you? Because this was the first time you actually participated in the 30 Paintings in 30 Days Challenge.
It was, and I think I was a little bit in denial the first week, and I had to do this for 30 whole days.
let me backtrack, because if, for those of you that don't know, Carrie is an amazing watercolor artist, and so normally it takes you how long to do a painting, would you say?
It takes, you know, it depends on the size, but a 6x6 can take me 2 days, you know, 2.5, 3 days, depending on how much painting time I can get, so.
Right. So did you change your speed level or did you just paint like crazy? What? Tell me how you did it.
A little bit of both. I had an idea in the beginning. You know, I wanted to simplify what I normally do. And I had some paintings that in mind that I thought would be fun. They were based on architectural elements from when we lived in Europe. I had taken a bunch of pictures, almost like gargoyles, but they're a French building,
right.
So they put them over windows and doorways, so they use them everywhere. And so I had these French faces that I wanted to do. So I had about 7. I think I ended up doing 6 of those, and then I got a little tired of the French faces, and I switched gears. And my thought process was I was going to just do kind of sketch-type paint. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So I thought I might loosen up, but I couldn't. So then I went through kind of a rough period where I was trying to, you know, do fully composed pieces. I don't think I slept a lot from day 7 to 20.
I'm sorry.
No, it was really good because, you know, to do, it was really good. I was really happy that I did it. And then around day 20, I had a little bit of negative criticism from somebody on Facebook. And so I thought, I got to switch up my gears a little bit. And so I switched and I just started doing these just fall leaves that I would see on my morning walk. And so I would paint these fall leaves and I did gold leaf backgrounds and they took off like crazy. So I ended up finishing up with those and doing several. And I did several more after that because it was insane. And then there's a lot of people doing gold leaf art now. So it's kind of funny.
Shocking. Well, that's fantastic. Congratulations. That's just a great story. And you kind of found your niche, I think, by day 20, and got on a roll. But I am so impressed that you even try to do the 30 and 30 challenge, considering how long and laborious your studies are. I mean, your paintings are just amazing. So, and you guys, if you haven't discovered Carrie's art, you have to go to, is it Carrie Waller Art? I can't remember what your website is.
CarrieWallerFineArt.com.
She's unbelievable, and if you want to see how watercolors paint glass perfectly, go to her site. It's pretty amazing. But Carrie and I talked about doing a show today on the 30 and 30 because so many artists have sent me so many incredible emails and comments on Facebook and messages and text messages about how this challenge kind of changed their art career. And thank you so much for all of those. We did a show last time, and I decided not to do a show this time. But I have to tell you, if you did participate in the challenge, regardless of how many paintings you finished, doesn't matter. I'm sure you learned a lot, and it's just so gratifying to see how many artists kind of came together and really learned a lot in the month of September. And I will be doing another one in January. I promise I will not be remodeling a house during that time. So I can actually do this in a more normal fashion. But it was fun. But it's an exciting time. And I'm actually on business in Hawaii. I am not here on vacation. It was a little hard to actually leave California. I was so excited to be there and duty calls. So it's now finally 6 o'clock in the morning here, which is a relief. But today's show is about how art contests can dramatically change your art career. We've kind of touched on this topic a little bit here and there, but the first thing you need to ask yourself is why. Why should you enter art shows? And, you know, juried shows are resume builders. There's no doubt. They're a great way for emerging artists to become kind of part of the art community. They can also really boost your art career. And if you're lucky, they can lead to, you know, national recognition, sales, and gallery representation. But you have to realize they may not lead to anything. So before you enter, there needs to be a really good reason. You need to think about this. And there are hundreds of art shows every month. So my first recommendation is to be very choosy. Now, there's a gal, her name's Joanne Matera, I think is how you pronounce it. And I found her art blog, and she has some really good questions to the question, why should you enter art competitions and shows? And you kind of want to ask yourself these things. You know, is it a volume for contemporary art? A publication like New American Paintings is a good reason for even experienced artists to submit to the rigors of juring. Secondly, she suggests you ask, is it because they're a juror or perhaps a museum curator or a dealer that you really, really want to see your work and then meet at the opening? This is often the inducement for the summer, you know, co-op shows in New York City and other large cities. The downside is they're not likely to remember the work if they don't select it. So you have to think about that.
All right, all good points. And you also need to think about if there's going to be a full catalog. A lot of these shows will put out really nice glossy photo, you know, catalogs of every single piece that's in the show. It's a plus if you're looking to build your bibliography. If it's a show with a history of producing good catalogs, even a mid-career artist who normally doesn't in their shows, you know, might consider that. If it's part of a larger event, such as a conference, participating in a jury show gives you an opportunity to have your work viewed by your peers and to experience an event more fully. So go for it. And sometimes a lot of these shows will have purchase awards, and things like that. And sometimes I've been in somewhere, it's a corporate, it's sponsored by a corporation, and they will buy, you know, so many paintings from the show. Does it support an organization you're involved with? This is often the case for art centers, co-op galleries, and other nonprofits, which benefit from the entry fee. But be selective, just as you're supporting the art center, you want to support the support to be reciprocal. And also, catalogs is a good point, because here I'm in Arkansas right now. We're military, so we move around, so it's interesting. I get to see a lot of different art organizations and live in a lot of different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And here they have the Arkansas Art Registry. And to enter one of the shows, they have a small works on paper show here, and to enter that show, you had to be part of that Arkansas Art Registry, and they required that you show them some publications that you're in. So that was an easy one for me. I threw some catalogs in there, you know, and let it go to them, and they accepted me on that. So think about those things that might pop up where you might need something like that.
Now, I know a question I hear, or a comment I hear a lot of artists say is, well, what's a gallery I'm going to think? Do they think I need to be in jury shows? Do I need it on my resume? There's really no consensus, but I did find some quotes what dealers have said. The first said, it depends on the juror and the show, obviously. Another one said, this is really interesting, I would expect emerging artists to have entered and been accepted into juried shows. It's one of the ways they can build up their resumes, and frankly, those acceptances tell me that someone other than me is responding favorably to their art. I like that quote. Then another gallery owner said, I'd have to question why mid-career artists keep entering juried shows. Where's the advancement? Which is interesting. And then finally, quote, I like to jury a show occasionally. I get to see work by new artists without having to go through the submissions at the gallery. And this dealer has shown work by artists she's found while juring, though I'm not sure if that long-term representation had resulted, but very, very interesting.
Yeah, and one point about that where the quote where they said they're not sure why a mid-career artist would, there are several, I think you just bump up your competitions. There are mm-hmm. several competitions that are very prestigious, and so I think that maybe at your local level you wouldn't, you know, at that point you wouldn't be doing it. But whatever the reason you decide to enter, you need to be cautioned about one thing. Many nonprofit organizations, sponsors, juries, exhibitions as part of their program. In many cases, these shows are the means by which an organization collects easy money from the entry fee of hundreds of artists eager to get their work seen by a prestigious juror. They are seldom great career-building opportunities, even if your art is selected for exhibition and given an award. A better way to introduce your work to an important curator or critic is to send your information directly. And where do you find the right shows to enter? Ask your fellow artists. I mean, most of us are on Facebook. I've asked several times, or I'll email, people that I know mm-hmm. are around my level, and I'll say, hey, have you heard of this? Are you entering? Ask your art friends, part of that, your gallery owners. There's some websites, www.artshow.com/juried shows, and then the www.onlinejuriedshows, and www.artpoints.net. And there's also another one called CAFE, which is capital C, lowercase a, big F, big E. And that has a lot of shows, and it also has a lot of really neat I think it's .org, but it has a lot of really neat opportunities like artist in residence or things that are, not your mm-hmm. mainstream competition. So that's a neat one to check out.
That's awesome. So if you do apply, you decide, okay, I do have a good reason to do this. I do want to apply. And it doesn't have to be a good reason. You just have to have a reason. Maybe it's because you want to go through the applying process and see what it's like. Maybe because you want someone to push you out of your comfort zone. Who knows? But whatever it may be, you need to be extremely selective. And you want to select shows perhaps with a specific theme, because then it gives you a chance to be more, directed with your art. A lot of themes are based on size, oddly enough, of paintings. That's become very popular. But they're, a lot of the jury shows that I see here in Southern California are based on wonderful themes. And they're kind of inspiring. When you see the theme, you think, ooh, what can I paint or go with that? You might want to consider shows only open to regional artists, because these can be a good way to expand your connections to the local art community. I think all artists that have not entered shows before should start at that level, because I just think it's a great opportunity. You can learn so much and also have some fun with it. Most of all, you want to apply only to those juried exhibitions sponsored by an organization you value and trust. And as Carrie kind of alluded to, there are so many competitions and jury shows out there that a lot of them, they're really just money collectors. And I hate to say that, because there are so many wonderful ones as well, but be choosy, as I recommended. Skip the shows in the really, really small towns, podunk USA. No offense, but if you want your work to be seen, stick with the major cities or major institutions in smaller cities, which is really important. And then look and see, are there prizes? Is there a catalog? These perks might come from a well-funded nonprofit institution, but, there's a lot of money being taken in these jury fees. And you want to make sure the organization is actually turning those around and benefiting a lot of the artists. So very, very important question.
Yeah, some other things you might want to consider is there an online component? Are they going to have your images online? Are they going to be individually posted? Is your name going to be on there with it in the website? Gives you wider visibility and an option for some fiber promotion. You might find this in an academic gallery. Is there the possibility of a solo show? This prize is likely to come from co-op galleries. If it's a good gallery and you don't mind doing all the work, it could be a major perk. There's a lot of artists that just want to get into a gallery, so that could be a foot in the door. you know, there's several galleries that will hold things, and if you send your work in and they like it, you know, that's right, you know, you're stepping in without having to ask. Don't submit work in a range of styles and mediums. Pick one. No juror wants to see all different kinds of art from one person.
Very true.
Relatedly, don't fall for the offer of paying an additional fee for extra images submitted over the initial two or three. It can get you into the first group, but the extra images are not likely to do that for you. So very valid points.
I agree. Yeah, it's true. If you get three in and you can pay money for two more, you know what? If the juror doesn't like the first three, they're probably not going to like the next two. So save your money. Very good advice. Okay, so Carrie found on a site called Art Sent Today 7 top tips to entering art competitions. And the first one is do your homework. Read the call for entries all the way through. If there's a prospectus, read that too, because you want to make sure you understand everything that's required and what you're agreeing to. If possible, check out the artwork already entered and check out the juror to see their background and area of interest. And you can also check out the show the previous year. Go back, find the site. You know, hopefully it's an organization that published this information, but you can go back and find, you know, what was judged in, what won, and just get an idea of kind of what they're looking for.
Right. And, you know, you can also ask around to your friends. If you see somebody in the catalog and you know that person, you know, ask what their experience
yeah.
was like. If you're not sure, ask questions, call or write to clarify any doubts about any criteria or theme. It's not a bother, and it's better to ask than to get it wrong. That's absolutely true. You don't want to waste your money, and they don't want to waste their time if it doesn't even fit in the qualifications, you know, of the prospectus. So make sure you're, you know, checking those details.
The third thing is to understand the theme. Ensure that your artwork really applies. You want to make sure the medium is accepted. Check to see if there are restrictions like the age of the artwork, which in most cases there are, whether or not it's available for sale or has been exhibited before. So check all those rules because, once again, you don't want to enter something that's going to end up being disqualified.
Right. You also want to make sure that if you're entering a watercolor, you know, they may only take transparent watercolor and maybe you've got acrylic or gouache in your painting. So, you know, those are those details you really have to check. You want to have a professional-looking image, so only enter professional images or photos that look professionally done, high resolution, in focus, no frames, no background, no kid in the background, no dog in the background,
yeah.
no extraneous items. The artwork, you just want to have the artwork front and center, and proper lighting without flash reflection. And, you know, don't take a picture of it under glass. It's got to be out
right.
from under the glass.
Yeah. You want to make sure you title the file as requested. With tens or hundreds of entries, it makes it easier to be reviewed and correctly attributed. It helps not to piss off the people processing them. And there are some very specific requirements of how you are to title these, and you have to do it right. I've talked to jurors that said, shows that said those didn't even get considered because they weren't labeled correctly. So you need to do that. Very important.
And you need to enter your best work. Make sure it is really your best work. You're really proud of it. It should be exciting, different, have a fresh perspective on the subject or theme, and have an interesting slant and not be derivative.
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, her last recommendation was don't give up. If you don't win, don't stop there. Because, come on, you know, you didn't enter the show just to win. You want to learn from the experience. You need to check out the winners and the finals and see how the look of the work compares to yours and how they address the theme. Remember, you know, jurors are people with subjective likes and dislikes that may have no bearing on the quality of your work. This is the thing about juried shows. If it's one juror, it's one artist or one juror's opinion. It's got the whole world. And I hear so many artists that say, oh, I entered the show and I didn't get in. I'm like, well, who is the juror? I was like, oh, some local artists, I don't even like their art. I'm like, well, hold on a second. You just said the person that didn't like your art, you don't like their art. I mean, it's kind of a funny scenario. But really, if you don't get in or if you don't win a prize, go back and look who did, because sometimes you can learn so much. And you may be able to just say, wow, their photographs of their art were so much better than mine. Or, ooh, well, that was really clever. Or, wow, that painting is simply amazing. And I think it's really important to have that opportunity to learn from the experience, because then the $30 you spent to enter the show was worth it. It wasn't a waste. And, you know, don't throw up your hands and arms after one show and say, oh, forget it, I didn't get in, I'm not going to enter anymore, because maybe it just wasn't the right show. So, just saying.
Correct. I've heard judges, you know, I've heard jurors, you know, personally, you know, going to listen to them speak, have said if they had been there on a different day, they may have picked a completely different set of paintings. So, you know, it's just that kind of thing. And in fact, doing the research for this, I read some stories, and there was one person that said they entered a painting with a juror and didn't get into the show at all. The next year, they entered the same painting, same juror, and won an award. So, you know, maybe they're having a bad hair day. So
yeah.
You just, and, you know, definitely I've had the experience, you enter in one thing, it doesn't win a thing, you get best of show in a different thing. You know, so you just, it's
yeah.
kind of like winning the lottery. You're just, you know,
that's
don't take it personally, grow a thick skin, you know, because this is, it's one person. And I like
mm-hmm.
to have my husband, when we go to see shows with my husband, I'll say, okay, you pick your favorites and I'll pick mine. They're not going to be the same. You know, it just shows you, if you do that with your friends, you're not going to come up with
right.
the same group of paintings.
And you
so
still love your
it.
Husband the same when
right.
that's over.
Well, I mean, think about what a personal thing it is. And for each of those,
yeah.
you know, each of your friends, your husband, you respect their opinion. So think about how hard and difficult that must be that, you know, one person is doing that. And you really can't get your feelings hurt because it's one person normally that does that. All right, we have some more tips. This is from Renee Phillips, and these are 10 tips for winning juried art competitions. And it was an article online. Submit your best work was the first one. And this was a common thing in a lot of these articles that I would read. Your best. It's got to be your best work. Now on that same note, the lady that won the gold medal for American Watercolor Society a couple of years ago, she said she entered, you know, this off-ball painting that nobody really liked but her. It was kind of quirky, and it won the gold medal. So in that same token, you know, they want
yeah.
something different. They want something different that they haven't seen a lot. So, you know, it's got to technically be some of your best work, but maybe not necessarily something that's popular with everybody. You know, it's like I said, it's kind of like the lottery, but you technically, you know, want to make sure your fundamentals are there and that it is, you know, some of your best work. Think the competition and your entry will be compared to many other entries, and your work may have less than 1 minute to make an impact. And I was reading through that. Some of those things, you know, they'll get thousands of entries, and they'll decide in one day who gets in the show. So they're spending, what, maybe 10 to 20 seconds on an image?
Right.
So it's got to capture them right away.
And stand out. I know we talked about doing your homework and reading directions carefully, but once you do get in a show, make sure that the artist framed properly and follows their, you know, art hanging instructions, because once again, you could get disqualified. They may say no sawtooth. I mean, there's a lot of little things that come up in competitions that you want to make sure you carry through and follow through and do it as they want. Because when they've got, you know, hundreds of art pieces, you know, getting shipped into a show, if one is done incorrectly, who knows where it's going to end up hanging. So very important point.
Right. And we've got a section on framing in a little bit we'll talk about. You need to consider the platform for a competition that is going to be an online exhibition. Select images best suited for the internet. Your JPEGs will serve as the exhibiting artwork. Find out what size the images will be on the website. If you enter the work with odd proportions, consider that it may put you at a disadvantage. For example, there's some contests that are for like the cover of, you know, Artist Magazine. So if you're entering that, you have to think about it. And they do interesting things to it to make it work. I've seen it where they really cropped in on a section. But for the most part, if you're entering this really long horizontal piece and the format of a magazine cover is pretty much vertical, you're kind of already putting yourself at a disadvantage because it doesn't, you know, format, doesn't fit to the size that they're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. And the next point is very similar. You know, when you're submitting your images, if they require a specific JPEG file size and format, submit your images accordingly. They didn't make it up for a reason. Often, if it's going in a catalog, if there's a chance it could be included in an ad, you want to get that right. I entered the Richeson Small Works show, and my painting ended up being in their full-page ad in all the art magazines. No, thank heavens I entered the right JPEG file. Could you imagine if they would have been sitting there going, yeah, let's use her painting. Oh, the JPEG file isn't large enough. Doesn't look good. Okay, let's use this one instead. I mean, I could have seen things happen. So, you know, you want to make sure you get it right. And, you know, it's just really, really important. And they want the correct resolution. They want the correct pixel size. And, you know, don't, you can't say, sorry, I don't know how to do it, so I hope these are okay. It doesn't work that way. So if you don't know how to do it, get some help beforehand and make sure that you're entering the right file sizes. Very, very important.
I've even taken the time to email sometimes to make sure that the image was able to open because, you know, sometimes you don't know whether they're able to get it open. And I've heard from people that they really try hard to get them open, but if they can't get them open, they can't see it. They, you know, they're just going to go past it because they don't have the time. So they may or may not email you back. But so, you know, in my experience, I've had a pleasant, you know, they've always responded back and said, yes, we got your image, you know. So you may want to think about that. Don't waste your time either. Research the juror or jurors and their affiliation and career history. If the juror or jurors is known for curating cutting-edge installation art shows and you create traditional still life paintings, you probably, you know, that's probably not the show for you. On the other hand, if the competition is in a rural town that doesn't appreciate innovative abstract art, don't waste your time sending them, you know, your abstract art. Kind of have to know your audience and, you know, the competition. And there are some out there that are very contemporary that I know my work probably won't fit into. So why bother?
Yeah. And that goes along with the theme. You really want to submit the work that best matches the theme. And if it has a theme, make sure your art reflects that because they picked that theme for a reason. And, you know, a lot of times when they're thinking about putting art into a show, they're thinking about the collection and the body of work and how is all of that going to fit into the theme. And if yours doesn't fit in the theme, there's a pretty good chance it's not even going to make it into the show. So.
And you also want to make sure, when we're talking about details, when you submit your work, if your name is different on your PayPal account than the artist name that you're using, how do they know that that is you that paid the fees? So you need to make them aware. This happened to me picking up a friend's art. We were both in a museum show, and I went to pick up her art. Well, I didn't realize, you know, she went by June, but she had a Korean name, and I didn't know her Korean name. So we're, you know, we're frantically looking for the name I know, and it's under, under a totally different name. So, you know, be aware that, you know, they may not know this, and they may not even realize you paid if you use PayPal and your name's something different, or, you know, your PayPal account's under your husband's name, you know, whatever. You just want to make sure you close those details up. Anything that you can, you know, make sure you've gotten everything done, you know, so that you get your faces looked at.
Yeah, that's great advice. The other thing, and this is really obvious, but it's really important, don't be late. Deadlines are deadlines. If the prospective reads art must be received by a certain date, that means received, not postmarked, and don't think you can get away with it. And you know what? I can't tell you how many artists I've talked to that missed shows because they thought it had to be postmarked and not received. That is probably one of the most important things you need to first look at on the prospectus. And if it says it has to be received, you better be shipping it out a good week or 10 days in advance. Because you don't want to send it out, spend all the money, all the time, and then find out that that's the case. And, you know, if you're doing it online, that's fine, no problem. Those are simple. But it's very, very important that you make sure you get the deadlines right, because that's a really unfortunate way to get not included into a great show.
And if you are doing it online, pay attention. I'm like the last minute person here. So when it says 11:59, make sure if it's Eastern Standard Time or Central, you know, pay attention to that time because you can either gain a couple hours or you missed it by a couple hours. So pay attention.
Right.
Ask questions. Yeah. The next thing you would do is ask questions. Acquire the answers to such questions as, do they use an internal pre-selection process? Or will the named jurors see all the entries? Different competitions do it different ways. How many awards and type of awards will be given? If there is a purchase award, will it cover the value of your work? That's a good one because a lot of the prospectuses will ask you, is this piece considered for the purchase award? So you need to check on that because it's not always the amount of money you've specified that your painting will sell for. You know, some of them have a dollar amount that they go by. Must the work be available for sale? You know, there's a lot of people that have work they don't want to sell. So if it does have to be for sale, you don't want to put your piece in there. What commission will the sponsor take in sales? That needs to, you know, that'll help you decide what price you're putting on it. And what percentage of entries will be chosen as the finalist? You know, you might get your heart broken that you didn't get in and then find out later there was 5,000 entries and they took 50. So that makes
right.
you feel a little bit. So,
yeah.
you know, check those things out.
You really need to proceed with caution, ask around about a competition you aren't sure about, and reach out to your artist friends, especially on Facebook, because I'll tell you, there's a lot of shows that sound really good on paper, but maybe, you know, it's not right for you. And I tell you, asking your friends is probably the best way to find out what makes sense. Yeah, you have to filter it, because there may be someone who didn't get in who's bitter about it and trashes the show, when really that's not the case. But I think we can all be smart at that, too.
And that's how I'll find out about a lot of shows. You know, people will post, oh, I just got into this show. I didn't even know about that show. So I might jot down on my calendar.
Right.
You know, look at this show around this time or go look and see when the next one is. So you can find that. People are always asking, where do you find out about shows? It's just kind of keep your ears open and hear what people are entering. Our next section of information comes from Rachel Rubens. She's an editor for Northlight's Books, and she does Splash and Strokes of Genius, the drawing one. Splash is the watercolor book. They do a volume every year. I think they're on, this year they're on 16. They have call for entries for volume number 16. So each year they'll do the best of watercolor, and they normally have some kind of theme, like light or texture. This year's happens to be texture. And the deadline for that one is December 2nd for early work, I believe. And she had a webinar the other day, and so I signed up and took the webinar. And it was really interesting because she was giving you her take on what she picks, because she is the only one that chooses the images for those books. And the Strokes of Genius is a drawing, you know, equivalent. And I don't know if Northlight Book has an oil competition or not. I'd have to look that one up. But she talked about what she was looking for when she's looking for all these images. And you have to realize, if you have 16 editions out, she's been doing this for a long time. So she's seen a lot of paintings. She has seen a lot of paintings. So it was really interesting to hear what she had to say. So her first and foremost thing she was looking for were good art fundamentals, you know, your lines, your composition, your color, your tones, just your basic techniques. She also wanted it to have heart, an interesting subject, and a story that touches her. And she wanted originality, a different point of view, an original point of view, and does it have the wow factor? So those are all things, you know, she's looking for when she's trying to find these pieces. And you have to think, if you paint flowers, how many floral paintings has she probably seen, or any of these jurors? So what are you going to do to make it look different to catch the person's eye? You know, looking for 10 to 20 seconds while they view your image.
You know, some of the words that Rachel's used to describe the art she's chosen in the past are light, subdued, gasp, surprise, humor, texture, movement, detail, color, unimaginable, delicacy, boldness, captivate, unique, perspective, feeling of being in a foreign place, a sense of being there, a strong subject, background integration, clear focal point, excitement, drama, and dynamic. Great words. I think I might put those up in my studio. I'd love to look at those words after a painting and go, does my painting have these?
Yeah.
Which I think would be really cool. She emphasized that the odd size can be a problem for a publication, so keep that in mind. But that was great.
Yeah, she talked about there was one painting. They accepted it in, but it was rounded at the top. You know, that's harder for a publication, you know, because it had a round top. On about.com, they had an article about what are art competition jurors looking for. So one of the things they talked about was making sure that the competition is suitable for your art. We kind of talked about this a minute ago. If the contest says it accepts watercolor, I think I did talk about this, you know, make sure that if they only want transparent, you're not entering gouache and acrylic, you know, if they...
Right.
You know, so really pay attention to what their guidelines are.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's great advice. And, you know, as you're going through kind of that question of entering the competition, think about, is it to enhance your profile or your resume as an artist? Then you want to enter the big prestigious show. I mean, you know, you can enter the local ones, but that's not going to have as much impact on your resume as a bigger, well-known show. If your goal is to sell, look for exhibitions aimed at buyers with lots of marketing to the public. And like Randy Higby, Deborah Hughes, they do a great job in marketing all of their shows, which I think is fantastic. You know, if your goal is to win prizes, consider regional and local shows with fewer entrants, where the odds will be better even if the prizes are smaller. Research the judges and look at the catalog from previous years to see what's been accepted and what's won in the past. And we've already talked about that, but very important advice to mention it more than once.
Right. And this next point was something that was funny that I never thought about too much, but it was in several articles, and it was, don't mimic the juror's style of painting in hopes that it will get you accepted. No one likes to have their style copied, and your work may be seen as unoriginal. I thought that was kind of funny because I've seen it both ways. I've seen some artists that are very famous that have people that paint just like them, and they're very successful. But I think for the most part, you really don't want to be the copycat that paints like this. You know, I thought that was but it's not. So that was an interesting one. And oversized or odd-sized paintings may be less likely to be accepted due to wall space. And, you know, they've got to lay out a show. It's kind of like laying out a book or a magazine or whatever. They've got so many spots and, you know, they want to normally fit as many paintings as they can. So if your painting is gigantic, they're not going to accept it. And most shows have size limitations anyway. I think normally a lot of the ones I enter, it's like 44 inches is the max on both sides, and they normally have a minimum also, and I think that can affect you also. If you enter something that's too small, I don't know how much impact, you know, it's going to have when they've got other large paintings beside you, so you might want to think about that. I know a lot of us have to ship our workplaces, so size is a factor in cost, but I try to like to stay in the middle range when I'm entering shows, you know, 16 by 20 or so, so that it's got some impact, not too small. Ensure your writing is legible on the entry form. You don't want to be rejected just because of that. I mean, that would be really sad. Spend
you know
all
what?
It
you have to realize the massive amount of entries and how quickly the juring process happens, and understand that all these little things really do make a difference. Like, is your handwriting legible? And if you think about that, it kind of makes sense to do it the right way, because there's a good chance you didn't get into the show, not because of your art, but because of something else. So it's important to think about that. And the other thing is, if you have enough good paintings, enter the maximum number of pieces that the competition allows, as it does give the judges a chance to see more of your work. And, you know, you don't have to spend money to add extras, but just take advantage of what, because in most shows you have a chance to enter, you know, two or three photos of your art, and do that, because it's only going to help you.
Yeah, I had never really thought about that before, and, you know, I will enter one but at a time or something, and I never thought about entering the maximum amount, because they want to see consistency in your work and make sure that you're not just like a one-hit wonder and you had, you know, a fluke with that painting and then the rest of your work is great. So I'd never thought about that. And when I was doing that webinar, Soon Warren, who is a watercolor artist out of Texas, she said that she entered that splash book I was talking about. She's been in many, many, many editions of that. And she looks at those entering when you enter more as a marketing fee. And she said she could take out an ad in a magazine that costs thousands of dollars, or she could spend $100 and enter, you know, so many, five or six pieces into the Splash magazine. And then she's been in many volumes now. I think for one, they're seeing the consistency of your work. And, you know, she felt like it was really beneficial to enter more pieces. So I thought that was a different take, and I hadn't thought about it too much. And if you're asked to provide a bio or an artist statement, keep it straightforward and short, and don't try to sound fancy or put a lot of art speak into it, and don't fib about going to art school or anything
really.
Studied under.
That'll yeah. Come back and haunt you.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to talk a minute about photographing and framing your art, but when you're photographing it, you know, the picture obviously has to be in focus and show the colors that closely match your art. If you can't do this, hire someone to do it for you. It's worse to get accepted into a show and then have the painting show up and have the painting look nothing like the photograph that they accepted. That's truly a terrible thing to have happen. So, you know, you got to think about that. There also should be no mats, frames, background in the picture. Lighting conditions do affect the color of your picture. Incandescent light bulbs will turn your picture more orange. Using fluorescent lights can turn your picture greenish. So shooting outside when the sky is overcast can create a bluish tint. So look at your pictures closely before you enter them. And maybe you have to make some adjustments to bring them back to look more like the original painting. Just because you took a photograph doesn't mean it matches your painting. And I think most people know that. You know, don't leave your camera on automatic and expect that to work. And, of course, don't ever use a flash when photographing your work. It just doesn't work, and you get that nice little bulb glare, and it doesn't do your paintings justice. So, you know, you just got to – by now, you know, if you're entering competitions, you should have some experience on photographing your art and knowing how to get a very realistic, good photo of what you've just completed. So.
And sometimes I think we're really close to our art. We've painted it. We've been around it. We've been sitting by it, looking at it a bunch. So you might want to have somebody else come through and say, does this photograph look like this piece? Because I think sometimes our brains play tricks on us and we think, yeah, it looks just like it. And you might need a fresh set of eyes to say, you know, it's a lot cooler, it's a lot more, whatever, you know, to help you figure that out. Because I'm even sleeping on it, go to bed and look at it the next day and say, whoa, you know, so... And the light of the room you're looking in and computer monitors can all be different, too. So you need to take those things into consideration. All right. We are going to talk about framing your art for shows. I know you might have something to add about. I have the watercolor side, so the glazing and the mats, and you have more of the oil side. So I don't know if you have any points about that I haven't thought of. But the juror normally does not, unless it's an online competition, they normally will not pick a winner until they see the paintings in person. So they may go through the process and select what they want to be in the show, but they wait until they see them in person to decide, you know, which one are the winners. So matting and framing your art is super, super, super important. If you have a nice piece of art surrounded by a cheap-looking frame or a frame that's scratched or dented, you've just reduced the award, you know, worthiness of that work in the eyes of the juror. They had a judge. There's a society here called the Mid-Southern Watercolorist, and they had a judge that flat-out disqualified a piece because it had lint under the glazing, which is really hard sometimes because when you're entering shows that they won't take glass, so you have to use plexi if you're shipping or in a lot of venues, they only want plexi. And I don't know if you've ever worked with plexiglass, everything sticks to it, every dog hair, every piece of lint, everything. So it's very difficult to get in, very frustrating, but you really have to go through the process of getting it clean and making it look good. If you want an art buyer to like your work, you know, when they're visiting these shows, you need to consider, you know, what kind of frame you've got on it. And if they think they'll have to reframe it, it could deter them from buying it. So my policy is always keep it simple. So most shows will stipulate keeping, if you have to mat it, that it has to be white or off-white. I don't think it's, sometimes they say you can use a color lining, which, you know, like if you have a double mat, the inside lining. I never think it's a good idea because why do you want to throw a color in there that might not match?
Right.
It's just a bad idea, in my opinion. So I always say keep it simple, white mat, you know, simple frame, black frame, whatever. You do, if you get larger pieces of art, you have to have a sturdier frame. So a 1-inch frame may not work, you know, on a huge painting. So think about that, too. You don't want your painting to be falling apart while it's there. But just you want it to look good. And I was actually at the Montgomery Museum of Fine Art, every other year they have a show that they put the art in the museum there. And it's a gorgeous museum. And my piece made it in while we were living there. And I actually had the curator of the museum compliment how nice the framing looked. He actually went through and made a point to critique frames and tell which ones weren't great and which ones were good. And the frame on mine enhanced my painting instead of detracting, you know, from the painting. So that's super important because you don't want your artwork to look bad just because you put it in a bad package.
Yeah, that's so true. No, it's really important. I agree. And with oil paintings, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say most shows want a hanger on the back, no sawtooth or anything strange. They'll want that wire. And I've seen some ugly, crazy wires in the back. Don't go to your garage and get some wire that you patch.
Go get the nice
plastic coated wire and make the back of your painting look good. That is part of the whole presentation. The back needs to look good too. And I've seen canvases that weren't framed that just left the sides unfinished. Normally shows won't take that, but I don't understand not finishing the size of your canvas if you're not going to frame it. But I'll let you talk about the oil paint.
No. With oils, I just want to say, I think the biggest problem I've seen is artists that put a frame on a painting that detracts from the painting, and that's the whole point that Carrie just tried to make. Don't do that. Keep it simple. Keep it basic, and put a frame on there that enhances your painting and doesn't detract from it. It's that simple. So, don't go for things that are super ornate. It's not hard to do, and I think most artists have figured this out. So very, very important. And don't put a $6 frame on a really nice little painting.
Right.
It will show. It will show. It does not need, it doesn't need to be a gold leaf frame, I promise you, but there are some beautiful frames out there that you can get for $30 or $40 that look awesome and enhance your painting. Don't put a cheap, you know, balsa wood looking frame on it, because I've seen that too. And I just can't believe how it cheapens up the painting. So very, very important part of entering the show is getting the right frame and certainly getting the right photograph. Quickly with shipping, you know, many shows won't accept styrofoam peanuts. You can only imagine why. Opening hundreds of paintings, what that would be. The clear float systems are great, but I know, Carrie, you'd heard of a friend that said her air float system expanded in the mail, so she had to pay oversized shipping on the return trip. But just be smart about shipping, and do read the prospectus and make sure you understand how that needs to happen. So, and then, of course, never enter more paintings than you are prepared to deliver. So very important to realize.
And make sure it's the same painting you entered the show. Don't send the wrong painting. I read about that. Just sending extras or paintings that weren't even in the show. So
that would be
interesting.
Oh, yes.
And I'll quickly go over there's a magazine called The Art of Watercolor, and it's a gorgeous publication, and it's a French magazine. They've translated it into English, and you have to buy them. You can get a subscription, but it's expensive because I think it comes from England. So anyway, they have them at Barnes & Noble. If you're a watercolor artist, you've heard of it and seen it. But inside of the magazine, they've got a big competition coming up at the end of this month, and they were nice enough to have some of the jurors actually tell you what they're looking for. And I thought that was so nice. I haven't seen that before, and I've only been doing this for a little while, so it may be common, but I hadn't seen it before. So I thought it was really neat. So I just was going to go over a few of pointers that they had said what they were looking for, because this is something, you know, most of these were things I think any juror would be looking for when they're looking to put pieces in a show. We talked about this before, that the work must be original and not derivative. So if you've seen a painting like that 1,000 times, imagine how many times they've seen that painting. So they want something unique,
good point,
from perspective. There must be a second level of subject matter that makes the work expressive and commands the viewer to take a second look. You've got that 10 to 20 seconds to get their attention. So what's going to do it? And I even read somewhere, like, if you put in subdued paintings or, you know, real light, you know, what something that doesn't catch your eye immediately, that might not be the best thing to put in there. If it's something you really have to look at, you know, and enjoy, or maybe it looks better in person, it's probably not the right show to put in a competition. The artist must show an understanding of the basic principles of composition, color, value, line, balance, movement, variety, and contrast. You know, you've got to have those fundamentals. I think most people that have been doing this for a long time can pick that out of, you know, somebody's painting, what's missing or what needs to be worked on. The work must be presented in a professional manner. We just talked about that. You know, have it submitted online or in frames.
Very true. You must have a good use of tonal values, color, and shape, and good technique. Originality of the subject choice and the creativity with which the artist or emotion that strikes and captures the viewer. A painting is a whole. Everything must work well together, obviously. Technique, subject, and idea, clever idea and composition, inventive use of colors, or innovative use of brushes or palette knives, I'll throw in there. Always a plus. Technique are important when bringing ideas to reality, most certainly.
Right. Overall control, is everything balanced when you're looking at this piece? The focal point in the background, the light and the shadow, the water and the color, the shapes and the lines, everything should be in harmony. So, pleasant to look at or exciting or some wow factor. You know, what is grabbing you about that piece?
Right. So today's show is titled, about how to kind of propel your art career with competitions. So I want to use my co-host, Carrie, as an example of this. Because you have, I don't even know how long you've been entering shows, so you're going to have to tell us, but what has happened, I think, to your career and just visibility and everything else since you've been entering shows and, like, winning every single one you've entered has been pretty amazing. So, Carrie, I would love to share with all of our listeners kind of your experience, what you've learned, and what you think has been the outcome from entering all these competitions. So take it away.
Yeah, I've been entering for about 3.5 years now. Mm-hmm. And I've been painting about that long also. And I decided early on that I wanted to enter things because I work best under pressure. And I work really well with deadlines. And it pushes me and it excites me and it gives me a reason to paint. And, you have some people that will say, I can't think of what to paint next or I'm stuck with that. That is what I'll say, what am I going to do to get into this show? And it's almost like a research project to me, what won last year? What,
sure.
What did they look for? And, how I've got to get in there too. How can I do that? So I think the challenge of it is what appeals to me about entering shows and, wanting to take it to the next level and getting recognized, all those things are appealing to me. So I started on the local level and I think that's a great way to do it.
Right.
When I took my first workshop, I took the president of the Louisiana Watercolor Society was in there, and she invited me to be part of their group. And my in-laws live in Louisiana, so I thought, oh, that's great because I have babysitters.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to go to shows or workshops. So I joined their organization, and so I started entering shows with them. And I have to – I'm like, Leslie, I haven't been painting forever. I've only been painting – coming on 4 years, professionally. I've always done creative stuff, but professionally I've only been, I don't even know if I can stay professionally that long. Maybe 2 years of that has been really professional. So I entered their local show first, and I was shocked and amazed and thrilled. I got first place in the first show that I entered. And I know that doesn't happen to everybody, but for me it just gave me that boost because I really – I was like, what am I doing? Do I want to be entering shows? I had, kind of a funny blog post at that time because I went through all this craziness. It's a lot of money. We had to travel to go to the show and take the, why am I doing this and all this stuff. And then I won first place and I thought, I have some validation. I'm going to continue on. So it gave me that validation. So, from there, I've entered a lot of shows. And like I said, I moved a lot. So it gives me the opportunity to be exposed to more art organizations in the different areas. So as I move along, that's kind of how I decided what I'm going to be joining and entering. So they have an
mm-hmm.
art organization here, so I enter, in here. So I won in there. And most competitions, I don't know how it works on the oil painting side of the house or other mediums, but for watercolor, most of these organizations will have, local shows, and then they'll have, one big show each year, where you get a lot of the international people to enter, I would say the OPA, they have, and we have, watercolor has American Watercolor Society, which is like the Oil Painters of America, so you have your different levels of shows. So
mm-hmm.
I will enter the local ones and then I will enter the big shows. So here I entered the big show this year at the Mid-Southern Watercolors and I got a first timer award in this one. And all of these things lead to good things. Just entering one of the shows here that they had, I got a full page, my painting was a full page ad in a local publication here. So, and I didn't ask for that. I didn't pay anything.
Awesome.
It was a surprise. In fact, In fact, one day I was looking through that magazine and I dropped it and it fell open to my painting and I'm going, it was like a weird moment, like, why is my painting in this magazine? You know, because nobody had told me it was in there. I'm like, what is this doing?
Wow.
So it really leads to things that you don't even think about. And Louisiana Watercolor Society, their international show, last year I entered, I've entered every year, so I got my signature status. Because once you've entered in that show three times and gotten into the international show, you get signature status. So that's my first signature status. And I won second place in the international show this year in May. And so that has just now led to the Art of Watercolors doing a two-page spread on that show. And so my painting will be in there. And then the editor of the magazine called and said, we have a sister publication that's a French magazine. We'd like to do a full article on you. So
Unbelievable.
It's kind of like,
what a great story.
It just comes out of nowhere sometimes. You're like, well, that's pretty cool. And that sister publication, that my French is horrible, but it's like Critique des Arts. And I have had one painting in there before. They just contacted me out of the blue and said, you know, we're doing an international section. Can we put this painting in there? And so I agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before I agreed, I did email my friends and, you know, that are have been in magazines, and I asked, is this a legitimate, you know, because it's a magazine.
Right,
I hadn't heard of it. So one of my friends had been in that magazine, so she's like, yep, it's totally legitimate. So you do want to check these things out because some things, I don't know about you, but I get almost weekly, you know, we are doing a feature on this and we'd love to have you in there. And, you know, in small print at the bottom, only $3,000 and you can be, you know, so pay attention to that. And some people do that and I'm sure it works for some people. It's marketing, but I have not done that yet where I've paid to be in anything. And then,
yeah, I don't think you need to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, magazine, I've paid to get into competitions, but I haven't paid to do ads or anything like that. They're expensive. It's not in the budget. And then there's a lot of online contests. I have my website through Fine Art Studio Online, and they have Bold Brush contest every month. And I enter that because with your monthly fee, you get a free entry into that. And that's been really great because it's driven traffic because they do like Fine Art. They do their top 15%, and then they have winners.
Right.
And I've been outstanding watercolor a couple times for that one. So you get, you know, there's perks to that. You get featured where they do an art, you know, they'll do an online article on you. And I had an art critic write about my work through that. And I've also, it's, you know, led to other people reaching out to me to do articles and things. So, you know, anything that can drive more traffic is a good thing.
Oh, sure.
And then,
oh, of course.
Probably my biggest one, probably so far, is Daniel Smith is an art company out of Seattle, and they have they do a contest every year. And you start out by having to enter a piece, and people have to vote to get you to the next level, and you know, things like that. So I did that, and you become a monthly winner. And then at that point, I don't think there's voting involved. I can't remember. But at the monthly level, then you're competing with all the other monthly winners, and they have a grand prize winner. And so this year, I won the grand prize for Daniel Smith. And this is just strictly an online, and it didn't cost anything to enter. And so the prize for that was a trip for two to Seattle and a studio. Furnishing a studio. So I got the trip for two, and then I have like $6,500 in art supplies that I get to purchase through them. So, yeah.
So
and,
cool.
You know,
I love it.
And it was another one of those. They call me on the phone, and I didn't announce it to anybody for probably a week because I didn't really believe it.
Well, you might have emailed a person or two.
I did. I did text
I got the cutest email from Terry, like, oh, my gosh, I can't tell anyone, but I can tell you. And I was so happy for you. Oh, my gosh. I was like, it's so deserved. Your art is so incredible. And I just love how you kind of what you've done with your career and how you've entered all these shows. And it's so fun to read your Facebook. Oh, my gosh, I just won first place. Or, oh, my gosh, I just won. And I'm like, well, duh, your art's so amazing. But I know for you it's been kind of a gradual process to believe your success.
It is
incredible.
It's been incredible.
Team,
really helpful.
I don't think I'm alone. The lady that won the gold medal 1 year at AWS, I read an article about her, and they called her and said she won the gold medal for AWS. And she's on the phone. She got off the phone. She called her daughter, and she goes, "They just called me and said I won the gold medal." She goes, "What do you think that means?" She's like, "Do you think they have levels?" And I'm at like, the bottom. You know, it took her like a month to process.
Oh, I love
that. I totally related to her. So I'm the same way. I'm like, so sometimes when it's not something that's announced publicly or somebody puts it out, I kind of sit there like,
oh, yeah,
I'm going to wait a minute and make sure it's for real. But I think my biggest advice is to enter these things. You know, Winsor & Newton does a Christmas card contest, and that's free. Mm-hmm. And last year I was like the runner-up in that one. You won a little prize. You know, put yourself out there, because the worst thing that will happen is you don't get in, and you're no worse off than you were in the first place.
Exactly.
And
that was such great advice.
The best thing that can happen is it propels you in some way, and you just never know. Even just being in a show, it might be at a gallery, and they may say, "Hey, we really like your work. We want to represent you." You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What it's gonna, and I'm constantly surprised, you know, how things shake out and turn up, and you know what happens from what, and it's always surprising to me. So, and I look back, and I can't say there's a single time where I, you know, that I can say, "Oh, I wish I hadn't done that," or, you know, and I've had my rejections. Don't get me wrong, and it made me feel better when, you know, the other day a friend put on there, you know, "Raise your hand." She put on Facebook, "Raise your hand if you got rejected from this show." You know, it made you feel better because you're not alone.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of people that got rejected.
Sure.
There's way more people that get accepted than, you know, way less people that get accepted than rejected.
Right.
So you're in good company. So don't let
But sometimes you have to put yourself out there, because even if you don't get in, you will have learned, I promise you, something from the process of entering. I really do believe that. And if you don't take those chances, you'll never know what can happen. I mean, look at you, Carrie. What if 3 years ago you wouldn't have started entering these competitions? I mean, look what's happened to your career. So it's awesome. Just a great, great story. And I so appreciate you talking about it.
We'll see. And it leads to good things. You know, I've got people, you know, asking me to do workshops now. That's a goal of mine. I want to do international workshops, you know, national and international. So that is a big goal of mine. So I look at it as a career move and as marketing and as how can I propel myself further and what do I want to get out of this. So you really, you know, have to think about it. And just try not to get too upset if you don't get in, because you do. You get upset. I'm not going to, you know, you get upset. You do. But you have to realize you're not the only one. And that same painting could get best of show in the next, you know, competition. So
great
part. Keep going and stay positive. And whenever I get rejected, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were Jane Freeman, and she was saying that just makes her try even harder the next time. And I'm kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to show you, you know, I'm going to paint the best thing ever for next. So I look at it that way, like a challenge, you know. Oh, you didn't take me this year, well, you're gonna next year, you know. So I just keep going, and you just don't know, you know, what'll come out of it. And I just that
mm-hmm.
for me has gotten my, if you want to know the fastest way to get your name out there, that has been the best way. And I strategically pick things, you know, I'll say, I want to get my name a little more known on the West Coast. So I'll enter some West Coast shows or, you know, so I strategically pick. And I think the one advantage to me moving a lot, I have noticed a lot of local artists get stuck in a local rut. And they don't
they only enter
their
local contests. Yeah. You're in the Southeast. You only enter in the Southeast.
Right. So the one thing moving does is say, I'm not restricted to where I live. I enter a lot of different things. So push yourself, you know, to expand where you enter and do some, you know, pick one show that you think is out of your reach and just try it and go from there.
Great advice. Well, what a great show topic. I absolutely love this. I really do. And Carrie, thank you so much for sharing all the success you've had. It's been fun, and it's been so fun to watch. I've really enjoyed it over the last couple of years. It's been really great.
Thank you. And I think it's a good show and a lot of good information today, and hopefully people take away a lot from it.
I think there is. And then next week I'll still be here in Hawaii, and you're going to be, I think, in D.C., so we'll be 6 hours apart.
I'm hoping the government is open by then. We'll see.
Yeah, really. Who knows? Well, listen, everyone, have a wonderful week. And Carrie, thank you again for so much input and research and everything on the show. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.